no head, no backstage passes. Have a proper giggle, I'll be quite polite, but when I rock the mic, I rock the mic. You got no love, then you're with the wrong man. It's time to move your body. If you can't get a girl, but your best friend can, it's time to move your body.
For a lot of racing enthusiasts, Praga are a sports car manufacturer. What a lot of people don't realise is they've been on the scene for many, many years. As the name implies, Praga, they are based in what is now the Czech Republic of Prague, Czechoslovakia, as it probably was then. Before that, of course, it was Bohemia. I'd like to introduce to the Backseat Driver radio show to discuss Praga, Mark Harrison, Managing Director of Praga Cars UK, here in Cheshire, not far from the famous Alton Park, and Cheshire being, shall we say, something of an epicentre of north of England motorsport. Mark, welcome to the Backseat Driver radio show.
Thank you, really pleased to be here. And I actually live in Surrey. My wife keeps asking me, why on earth are you based up in Cheshire? So it's a big question there. Alton Park is part of the reason, but yeah.
Like I said, Praga started in 1907. Before we discuss the sports cars and the one make series, can you just take us through Praga's history? Because their automotive products or internal combustion engine powered products are far and wide. They were involved in things that most people never credit.
Yeah, we found on the internet earlier this week a food blender. A food blender made by Praga from whenever, 1920 or something. But yeah, they're the world's oldest racing car brand that you've never heard of. When I was invited to go over and meet the owners, I don't know, 2.5 years ago, and I've been in the car industry for 25 years, not directly in the motorsport industry, but I've worked at BMW and McLaren for the majority of those 20-odd years, and very closely with the motorsport sides of those companies, within the road cars, but actually those companies, BMW and McLaren, the road cars and racing is integrated anyway. So, and I'd never heard of Praga. So I had a very open and honest conversation with the owners to say, if we're going to grow the brand and we're going to deliver some of the exciting plans we've got coming up, we've got to start from that position that, let's assume, nobody's ever heard of Praga. Now,
just putting in, I must confess, it's probably a couple of years ago now, but Praga flashed on my social media and everything else. My first reaction was, who's this lot?
Yeah. It's amazing. But as you say, 1907, and for the sort of brief history lesson, then they were, back in the day, as I guess anybody knows a little bit about automotive history, in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, there were hundreds or thousands of car companies or coach building companies and chassis manufacturers, but Praga were one of the biggest in Central Europe,
yeah.
biggest in Czechoslovakia at the time. And Czechoslovakia was a bit of a hotbed of automotive as well. And it, interesting, that part of the world has come back again in the last few years with the big...
Well, I mean, the famous manufacturer out of the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia, of course, is Skoda.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one that everybody knows.
Yeah, so there's a good point to jump into the history. So, although I jump a little bit ahead of the history, so in whenever 1950s, whenever communism took over in that part of the world, let's call them the Russians. The Russians basically looked at the Czech Republic and said to Praga, you make everything. You're the best at making things. You've made the most cars, the most racing cars, which they had at the time. They'd made more cars than Skoda. But we don't want racing cars or road cars. We need trucks, and we need tanks, and we need gearboxes and axles.
And that was the problem when the Russians took over in Czechoslovakia. All the manufacturers had to manufacture what they were told. Yeah, they couldn't carry on making the other things that they made.
Yeah, so it was great for Praga as an industrial group. It was fantastic from a manufacturing point of view. They made lots of trucks and tanks. And when we present to audiences, I do say to the audiences, if there's anybody in the room that's a communist who's needed a truck, you will know who Praga is. But I'm guessing there aren't many people in that position. So, and they said to Skoda and Tatra at the time, well, you can carry on making some cars for us. And so Praga were the big guys in those days. Before communism, they had literally made everything with a motor.
You know,
as I said, there was a food blender. We found a vacuum cleaner. But they made aeroplanes, motorcycles, road cars, racing cars, you name it, they made it. And so post-communism, the nice thing is about Praga, it's been unbroken from 1907. Sometimes you see racing car brands come out and they talk about a big long history. There's a huge great gap in there.
Where they produce anything.
The new owners have come in, bought the brand and then claim the history. But the nice thing is about Praga, it's had peaks and troughs, but it has worked ever since communism. So obviously the business model of communism, when the war fell and things like that, the model completely changes. And you go from a company that's basically just told to make things and not worry about the commercials to a capitalist, they were given
money as well. In many ways, they didn't have to worry about making a profit, did they? It was just the money was there.
Yeah, so here you are. Here's the factories. Go and carry on making things. So it obviously takes a while to find your feet in the capitalist world. So post-communism, they carried on doing what they do. They carried on making trucks, fire engines, motorcycles, enduro motorcycles. And really, I guess in the last few years, there's an automotive division which makes a lot of trucks and trailers still. So that's the sort of core bit that's on the quiet doing its business. But they've got an aeroplane business, aviation business, and obviously we're talking about the racing cars now.
Yeah.
So it's come full circle, really. They made some really nice racing cars in the 20s and 30s, and we're back making what we like to think is a really nice racing car now with the R1.
Yeah. Back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, a little bit of, and 50s racing cars are something of a passion of mine, and it was when innovation came along, some of the greatest drivers appeared, and some the circuits weren't the circuits that we know now. They were street circuits, and these guys and women, there were quite a lot of female racing drivers back in those days. To my mind, the levels of bravery they displayed were incredible because the cars weren't quite as safety conscious as they are now.
No, and this is the chief engineer for the business, Jan Martinek. He knows the history like an encyclopedia. It's quite amazing. You'd be here doing this for 6 or 7 hours, and then he'll say to you, and then in 90, but so he does have some great examples where the company also innovated. So that when they launched racing cars and road cars, they were very early into the aerodynamics development side of things. So there is a nice pedigree there. And every year, you talk about the races, they were very different in those days. Every year from Prague, there's an annual, what it was called, the 1,000 miles of Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Annual road race. It's now the 1,000 kilometers, I think, of still called off Czechoslovakia for historical purposes, but it goes off and goes from Prague into Slovakia and back again. And a 99-year-old Praga won it this year. So it's very much done on a sort of trials basis. It's not a speed thing. They almost have to keep below a certain speed. But one of the old racing cars, 99-year-old racing car, won that. So there's still some big collections, actually, of Praga cars in Prague that we're slowly trying to persuade the wise old gentleman that owned them to let us borrow them and
for bring them over here for a little bit.
Yeah, and so we should see some of the older cars in the UK next year as part of the racing program. And also, we're at our headquarters now on the wall of the headquarters. There's a motorcycle called the BD500, which is a beautiful old motorcycle. And everybody in the factory has a side hustle. That's what I love about Central Europeans. And one of the guys has, off his own time, has bought an old BD500, renovated it, and then put in a modern Kawasaki powertrain.
Oh.
And apparently it's a work of art. So we should be getting that over here next year. And looking at that actually is a little bit of a side business.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's nice. We talk about history, but we genuinely still look at the history and involve the history as we're building the brand going forwards.
Now, as I said, Prague, in the UK especially, becoming known for their sports cars. But when you walk into the reception, there's a go-kart or a cart. I get admonished at times, but they're not go-karts, they're carts. Prague take multisport from the very basics where people will enter multisport, because most people who want to race a car now, I think about 3 to 4 years old is the time you've got to start these days, and they put you in a cart. So are the carts in the UK, etc., and how does it work from the very basics? Is Prague Cars UK, etc., do you cover all aspects of it?
Directly, we don't cover the cart business directly, but we certainly understand the opportunities that getting to young boys and girls as future R1 drivers and owners offers to us. So Praga Karts is the third biggest manufacturer of karts in the world. The UK, it's not a market that's really taken off for them yet, but we're very close physically to the UK dealer up here, which is another reason to base ourselves up here, so that the UK kart dealer can benefit from what we're doing, investing in the racing.
Don't mind me asking, who are they?
So it's a couple of guys, Nathan and David Seeney, father and son.
Yeah.
So, and actually we've got Peter, the owner of the Prague Karts division, is over here at the moment. We've got the end of season driver awards tonight.
Yeah.
So Peter's over here. So we're talking about them, about how we all work together next year to really support each other. Because the great thing about the Prague R1, the racing car that we've seen this year particularly, is its accessibility to novices.
Yeah.
It's also, if you're a more mature racing driver, gentleman driver, who's never got into aero and downforce racing and you want to do that, great, it'll still challenge you. If you're an experienced driver, we've got some very experienced drivers racing this season, it keeps you honest as well.
Yeah.
But actually, for a novice, it looks potentially quite a scary car to come and race, but actually, it's really accessible, and some of the results we've had this season have proven that out. So there is a natural step to go from karts, maybe do a season of saloon car racing, whatever, just to you know, hone your trade a little bit, and then move into the R1. But we've had Jem Hepworth racing this year with us. She won the Brit Car Endurance Championship last season.
Yeah.
Having come pretty much straight from karts, she did a 24-hour race in Citroën C1s, I think, and a few other tin top races. But she moved pretty swiftly from karts into the R1. So there is a natural connection there to make that work. And also, karts are fun. So I don't understand how the kart business works, the kart racing environment. I hadn't really worked at the coalface of motor racing until I came here, and that's an interesting political minefield I found this season. But and karts just seems another level up. So I don't want to get too close to it, but actually it's great to have that connection. And
it's like the ultimate feeder formula.
Yeah.
Even though, if you're so inclined, you can all spend 40-50 quid on a stag do and go and have a do at karting somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a strange crossover type of multisport is karting, because anybody really can have a go at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the company is looking very closely at electric karts and looking to really move into that market in a fairly aggressive way, which is great. And as you say, it's a good way of just engaging with, whether it's racing drivers or friends and family of racing drivers. So we'll certainly see how we pull all those things together next.
Live and local, across the Ribble Valley, 106.7. This is Ribble FM.
Sunrise, what about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain? What about killing feels? Is there a time? What about all the things that that you said was yours and mine. Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying herb that's weeping? Sure. We've done. What about all the peace that you pledged your only son? What about flowering fields? Is there a time? What about all the dreams that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the children dead from war? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth as we make sure?
Valley 106.7 Ribble FM.
MC Hub is the ultimate place for bikers. Why? Because they offer the best prices, huge choice of stock from all the well-known brands, and most importantly, epic customer service. Browse two floors crammed with anything and everything you may be looking for. Main dealer for RST and an RI service centre. So, come and have a brew, a chat, try stuff on, go home happy. Yeah, it's that easy. Visit MC Hub, just off the M65 at Junction 4, Darwin Services. Signposted all the way, or simply Google MC Hub Darwin.
Are you tired of sky-high housing costs? Are you ready for a change of scenery? At Three Rivers, our rural caravan park is the perfect solution for those seeking an affordable, peaceful and beautiful place to call home. Nestled in the heart of the countryside, our park offers exceptional facilities, including a cafe, swimming pool and function suite. You can even choose your own plot and specify the style of home that best suits your needs. Don't miss this opportunity to join our thriving community and enjoy the best of both worlds, the convenience of modern living with the charm and serenity of rural life. Contact us today to learn more and schedule a tour. Three Rivers, the perfect home is waiting for you.
Are you tired of paying a high pump price for your company diesel? Or are you using a fuel card now but worried you signed up to an introductory rate that's now a thing of the past? Let me introduce the Green Arc Fuel Card. With a fully transparent, consistently low price and no surprise surcharges, the Green Arc Fuel Card has nothing to hide. Why not speak to our team on 0345 646 5451 or visit greenarcfuelcard.co.uk and see how much you can save.
It's time to get away with a foldaway. Escape to the country with one of our folding mobility scooters. Here at Modern Mobility, we understand the importance of keeping your independence and enjoying days out with your family and friends. We have some of the lightest and quickest folding mobility scooters, so you don't have to miss out on anything. With easy payment options and friendly experts on hand at all times, finding your ideal scooter has never been easier. Why not visit our shop, located on Castle Street, or give us a call on 01200 760 006 and discover your perfect staycation scooter now.
Craving something different? Discover Akila Street Food in Great Harwood, where homemade Indian-inspired street food dishes meet with a Lancashire twist. Sizzling curries, propadoms, fish pakoras, rolls, wraps, you name it. Every bite is crafted with love and passion for tasty treats. Lunch, dinner, and even takeaway. It's the perfect place to tickle your taste buds. Akila Street Food, Great Harwood. Taste the fusion, taste the passion. Your taste buds will thank you. For more information, find us on Facebook.
Now, Prague, as such the R1, started to make its mark in the UK by being part of Britcar. So what was the initial reaction when a Prague made an appearance in what you would call possibly the British GT series?
I think it was there was a little bit of what that want. And I only take that really from the direction of our dealer, BR Motorsport, Vincent Randall, who runs our racing programme as well for us. But I think that was basically Vincent's reaction when he first saw the car at Autosport, whenever it was, 4 or 5 years ago. But it was, what the hell is that? But
yeah.
Then it was, and I want one.
Yeah.
And because the car does look sensational, I'm biased, but that's the feedback I get from people. And having been in the car industry for 20-odd years, I understand a little bit about just how an aero-designed car, performance car, engages you emotionally. You can't help but love the looks of it. And this is another probably good example of Praga's sort of philosophy, in that really the car was designed by the enthusiasts in the factory.
Yeah.
There was very little, no consideration. I'm sure the guys in the factory say, "Oh, come on, Mark, you're doing us a disservice." I think there was no consideration as to where this car can race.
Yeah.
It was literally, let's just build and design the purest single seat closed car. We can do that. And that means carbon fiber all round. It means aerodynamics and downforce to the fore. It means a really sweet power to weight ratio, and there's the Praga R1, and they designed it and finished it, and pretty much it didn't fit in any category. And where it did get to race, it raced against prototype drivers, who then complained that it was a GT car, and then it went racing against GT cars, who the owners of those complained it was a prototype. So we made a bit of a rod for our own back, and got pushed around for a couple of years. Whilst they sold a few. There's quite a few got sold into America, because I think America, you can be a little bit more flexible in the States. The rules aren't quite so strict. So
you get the feeling in the States at times, if a car makes an appearance that they like the look of, if there's no category for it, they'll go and invent one.
Which actually is a really good point, because I think that's what we're finding now in the UK and Europe. So there's a lot in the States, most in the States. And so Vincent saw the car at Autosport and said, "I want one of those." Then went looking for where he could race, caught up with Claire and the folks at Brick Car. It was before Claire, I think, at Brick Car. But anyway, worked it so that he had one car racing in the early days for the car at Brick Car. He had to engineer a roll hoop, roll bar for the car, according to MSA Motorsport UK rules.
Once MSA gets involved, they'll have you changing all sorts of things.
In my view, it doesn't really need one, but I'm not an expert. But a carbon fibre chassis and full body and roof should be, it is structurally sound, obviously. Yeah. So, but anyway, rules are rules. So Vincent engineered that, put it in the car, raced one car. That then led to, cut long story short, led to three cars racing last year in Brick Car Endurance Championship. And actually, I have to say, the guys did an amazing job. We had pretty much a full season last year, despite everything that was going on. We had a full season, so that was amazing work by everybody in the paddock, actually, to make that work and work by the rules and make that happen, which was great. But that then, we went from three cars last year in Brick Car to, we had 10 at Donington Park 2 or 3 weeks ago in our own category. So after the three, we started to raise eyebrows. So Claire and Vincent and myself sat down and said, let's have our own Praga category within the Brick Car Endurance. And so we had 9 cars racing this season, 10 at Donington Park. And that really upset everybody, because I did a little presentation last night and made the point that at Alton Park Round in the summer, we locked out P1 to P9 on the grid in qualifying. And then...
You won't make yourself overly popular.
No, so we're friends with quite a few of the teams that own GT3 cars and things. Motus One, for example, run a McLaren GT3 car, and also this season ran one of the R1s for us. So we had full-on, really, information that, and it was pretty clear that that wasn't sustainable. It was, I think it might have been Will Powell at Motors One, or certainly one of the guys said, "Great, I won my class, but actually came 7th or something." Yeah. So we sat down with Claire, and we'd always hoped to have a one-mate race series in 2023.
Yep.
And far cleverer, better people than me and Vincent and Jan and people in the factory have promised a one-mate race series and tried to do a one-mate race series and failed, because it's really hard. By definition, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah, I'll be quite honest, I've seen many a one mix come and go, and the problem is the come's expensive, the goal's very rapid.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's like a fine balancing act, working out, what can we make this work?
Yeah, and but we're in a position, we went over to the headquarters, sat down with the owners, and they came at it, the owner, and really came at it from the perspective of, this is high risk. We're building the brand. Let's just keep going the way we're going. It's working well. Why do we need to jump into one mate race series too early? But we made the point that we don't really have any choice. We've got 9 or 10 cars on the grid. If we go to 12 or 13, a Brick Car Endurance don't want us in their championship for all the right reasons. So we don't actually have anywhere to go racing. So
it'll start to look like a one mate series.
So the only option really is to, because the 10 on the grid is reasonably artificial in that 5 of those are factory cars to support the growing brand. So the other argument was, you're reducing them. So then we'd pull the factory cars out of it and let it grow organically, but you should never, we've got momentum. You should never take a back step when you've got momentum. So we really agreed and persuaded the owner that we've got to go for this 12 months early.
Yeah.
So his opinion on that was fine. Okay. I understand we've got to do it. Mm. In that case, what's the biggest challenge? The biggest challenge is that nobody wants to buy the first, second or third car in a World Make Race Series, but they all want to buy the 16, 17, 18. So, yeah. So the owner said, fine, we will commit to 16 cars on the grid by hook or by crook. If we don't sell enough cars, we will provide factory cars to make sure and guarantee there'll be 16 cars for next season, November 2023. So we went away from that meeting with the green light. We will sell enough cars anyway to have 16. It's fairly clear. We had an amazing session at Motorsport Days Live a couple of weeks ago. We then had another 10 test drives the week after. So we've done nearly 50 test drives in the last two, 3 weeks. So all the momentum's there. The interest is there. So we have absolutely no doubts there'll be 16 cars on the grid. And we will also add in some factory cars as well,
right,
which is repeating the program we did this year with some of our guest drivers. So, yeah, really excited about it. We're seeing six or seven battle it out together at Alton Park was sensational. Seeing 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 of these cars going toe-to-toe, Silverstone in March, is going to be amazing.
Yeah. I conclude those that are privateers, the ones that have bought their teams, will be allowed to tweak them a little bit.
Hope not. That's the one thing we're working on at the moment, is how do we provide a level playing field to everybody within limits. We don't want to have pages and pages and pages of rules and regulations. We try and keep it simple, look at the power curve on the car, look at the how we can look at it from that perspective. But then the beauty of the car, what we're finding with a lot of drivers that have come in this season is the adaptability of the car for setup.
Yeah.
It's the two drivers, in theory, you can drive solo for the hour's race, two drivers over the hour, each driver prefers a slightly different setup or they compromise and go for the same one. And so there's that which is great on the car. But we will try and make sure, partly because, as well as the owner saying we'll commit to make sure the 16, he also said, and the winning prize will be a used Praga R1 from this season. So there's, at our level of motorsport, it's a hell of a prize as well.
Yeah.
So, and there's other prizes as well. There's over £200,000 of prize pot. So we've got the slight suspicion that one or two of the teams and drivers might try and bend the rules a little bit to get that. That's why we've seen some really serious racing drivers looking at this, and teams with that opportunity of winning a prize like that.
What powers a Praga R1? Because from what I've seen, there appears to be two, and the difference is one's turboed, one isn't turboed, and that's what, shall we say, differentiates the two variation of models.
So a bit of a story there, really. So it's a 2-litre Renault Alpine engine that's been in the car since it started. So the little thing about it is that mechanically the car's really well honed now. It's developed over the years, but really it sounds like a bit of an exaggeration, but we don't think we had any mechanical issues last season with all the cars, which is fantastic. But last year we had one naturally aspirated car racing and two turbocharged cars. The car is currently now in its fifth generation, and that was really a move from, started off as naturally aspirated, moved to turbo. That turbo was then increased in power.
Yeah.
And we looked at this season with the 9 or 10 cars, and certainly for the One Make Race Series, we did think about having two classes, a naturally aspirated class and a turbo class.
Yeah.
But Vincent's feedback was basically that anytime he's heard of a naturally aspirated car getting sold, pretty much after the first session, the owner has come back and said, actually, do you know what, can I go for a turbo? Right. So, it seems natural that the naturally aspirated is an easier car to get into and drive, and it is a really sweet car to drive.
Yeah.
But I think once you get engaged with the aero and you get the nerve to trust the aero through the corners, actually, you might as well be in a higher-powered car with the turbo. So we've decided we're just going to build turbos now. What we could see happen, we can easily see 2023, 2024, a separate class of natural aspirated. Then maybe it's on a pricing point or something that might help.
I suppose the thing is as well, it gives people who want to race at Praga R1 two championships to go at, for want of a better description.
Yeah, it will, and it will be a pricing factor as well. The R1, again, in my view, isn't ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
But if you can offer a natural aspirator that's at a lower price point, then it just gives other people an opportunity. But at the moment, focus on the turbo. Yeah.
For local radio, it has to be Ribble FM.
Whoa. I try to be everything that I can, but sometimes I come out as being nothing. I try to be everything that I can, but sometimes I come out as being nothing. I pray to God that He make me a better man. Maybe one day I'ma stand for something. I'm thanking God that He made you part of the plan. I guess I ain't go through all that hell for nothing. I'm always f***ing up and wrecking. It seems like I perfected it. I offer you my love, I hope you take it like some matter. Tell me ain't nobody better than me. I think that there's better than me. Hope you see the better in me. Always end up better in me. I don't wanna ruin this one. This type of love don't always come and go. I don't wanna ruin this one. This type of love don't always come and go. Drugs, then you hold me close, then I tell you how you make me whole. Sometimes I feel you like being alone, then you tell me that I should have stayed in the room. Guess I got it all wrong, all along my fault. My mistakes probably wipe all the rights I've done. Saying goodbye to bygones, those are bygones. Head up, baby, stay strong, we gon' live long. I don't wanna ruin this one, this type of love don't always come in.
Spring's here full of fresh colours and bright new ideas. Just in time for Ramsbottom Kitchen Company's spring sale. Now with up to 50% off selected kitchens. RKC have been helping people create their dream kitchens for over 30 years. Full of ideas and inspiration. Visit our huge showroom, discover the latest colours and styles, and let us bring your new kitchen to life with our free design and planning service. Your dream kitchen? Easy as RKC. Now with up to 50% off. Just search Ramsbottom Kitchens.
It's time to redecorate, and Clitheroe Decorating Centre has you covered with a wide range of paints, including high-end designer brands like Benjamin Moore, as well as Crown, Dulux and Emperor, and to top it off, all the tools you might need to get the job done. Seeing a colour you like? Check out our colour wall or our paint matching service, which is available to all our customers, both trade and retail. Our friendly staff are always on hand to help offer best advice, tips and tricks. Just some of the benefits dealing with a local family-owned and Ribble Valley Business Award-winning store. Come browse our in-store exclusive offers at Clitheroe Decorating Centre on Shawbridge Street, Clitheroe, or give us a call on 01200 426 342.
Hey, have you lost weight?
No, I've just had my bra fitted properly, so everything is right where it should be. Remember, any good outfit starts with the right foundations. If your boobs aren't up where they should be, being supported and making you feel comfortable, then nothing is going to look or feel right. You wouldn't put a size 7 foot in a size 3 shoe now, would you? Perfect Fit by Carol, with more sizes than you can imagine, and fitting so easy. There's no tape measures involved. It's practically magic. You'll wonder why you didn't visit sooner. Visit them on King Street, Clitheroe, or check out their Facebook page, Perfect Fit by Carol, getting you your perfect fit.
Want that feel-good glow all year round? Visit Ribble Valley Tanning, Clitheroe's brand new luxury tanning salon. With the latest technology sunbeds, including lay down and stand up, you can tan comfortably and in total style. A stunning custom-built salon with the latest technology beds, free parking and open early till late. For opening times, visit ribblevalleytanning.co.uk. This is tanning done properly. Ribble Valley Tanning. Visit us today at Unit 3 Deanfield Drive, Link 59 Business Park, Clitheroe.
Planning an adventure? Hitching a trailer, caravan or bike rack to your vehicle? Whether it's for work or leisure, Ribble Valley Towing has you covered. Fitting a new tow bar, repairs, electrics, our experienced engineers will sort it. Expert fitting, quality accessories and an honest local service at the right price. Choose Ribble Valley Towing, Unit 20, Twinbrook Industrial Estate, Clitheroe.
So the Renault, the Alpine engine, is it a four-cylinder or...?
Yeah.
How did they drop onto the Renault engine?
I don't know. Oh. Before my time, but...
I mean, it is a proven engine.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I've not heard that there was a different engine like that. And so, yeah, but it is really a perfect engine for the car. The key thing they would have looked at is power-to-weight ratio, which is going to give us the... Because the car isn't overpowered, which is nice. Last season, we allowed the drivers to run the cars at the full power, which is around about 385 horsepower.
Yeah.
This year, we've kept it down to 365.
Yeah.
Simply because for a full race, one or two of the drivers did try and run the cars at full 385 for the whole race, and it just doesn't do the car any favours. And actually, you don't get any difference racing. If you're racing at 365, nobody's getting out of the car saying, oh, I wish I had 20 horsepower more, because the power to weight is so good anyway, and the engine's a key part of that. So
the one thing when you stood next to an i1 is it's quite a compact, small car. It's a strange thing to say, but anybody who's ever stood next to a Le Mans prototype, one or two, the first thing they say when they first stand there, they're not as big as I thought they were. Television coverage, etc., makes them look big. They are a remarkably compact little car.
Yeah, they designed around the driver. So we had the Gem Hepworth, who won last season, partnered with her driver, and he moved into racing Nissan GTR GT3 this season. And first race, there's some great photographs of, I think it was actually in Gem's car, but it was being raced by Jimmy Broadbent, the YouTuber at the time. And there's some great photographs were coming out on his social media, because he's got a huge social media following, of Jimmy in the car in the R1 with the Nissan GTR up behind it. Mm. And it just looked, it was like a sort of image of a shark coming in, attack a little sprat or something. Yeah. I mean, the size difference was incredible. So, and that's again, another reason why, with more than 10 of these cars on the grid, we do need to go our own way, because either drivers in larger cars don't spot the R1, or take the opportunity to say, I didn't see it, officer. There is a size difference for sure, and it's because it's a pure racing car, and you're racing against GT3 cars, which in essence are road cars made for the race, made to race, aren't they? So, but yeah, it's we have a really good relationship with a car designer called Frank Stephenson, actually, who's an old friend of mine from my back in the days of McLaren and places. And he's doing work with us on the car, just in a graphic way, designed on the liveries this season. And it was such an easy sell to get him to work on it, because he came to see, we had a bare carbon car at an event last year, and I invited Frank to come and look at it. And he looked at it, and his jaw dropped. We get that a lot, but from a really experienced car designer like Frank, and he just loved the way he was talking about it last night, actually, at our event, and just saying it, he said, it just looks ripped. The way he called it, he said, it's like a classic ripped guy. There's 3% body fat on that. And that's the way it looks. It really does look aggressive, but it also looks really cool, actually.
I think the one thing is, where we are at your headquarters in Cheshire, there's one sat outside and there's one in, shall we say, the offices in front. They're both dark coloured, which tends to emphasise what aggressive looking little cars they are. So I should imagine the first hand one in pale colours will look slightly unusual.
Yeah, there were one or two races last year that were white, actually, but they look great. I mean, this is the nice thing I think we're finding with the teams this year, and certainly looking at next year, that as with all or most of road racing, a racing car is a billboard.
Yeah.
And our car makes a great billboard as well. There's some really good surfaces on it for the sponsors. There's a big sort of fin on the back, which is a classic sort of Praga design trait that we're going to open up to any lead sponsor for next season will get the whole of that fin.
Yeah.
So yeah, it works. It works from a viewer's point of view, and the cars look great racing, but actually also from a sponsor's point of view, it's set up ideally for that.
Now, the one thing you mentioned, sponsors, with your big event that's going on at the moment, you already seem to carry one or two nice sponsors. Who exactly have you got?
We're in discussion with quite a few people for next season, and that's everybody from a technical partner that's American based, that's looking to expand into the UK and Europe, and they can see working with us has huge potential, because we don't charge the sponsor fees of
Formula
National or internationally TV broadcast race series, but there's quite a lot of eyeballs on us. Now, and we're at that position where we can work really closely with sponsors together as to how are you going to benefit most from it. So we've got quite a lot of discussions next year that we'll announce early next year. I mean, at the moment we've got various sponsors at our event here at the headquarters that we've worked with this season, organisations like Supercar Driver, which is the UK's biggest supercar owners, 1,000 members. That's a historical thing that I've known those guys, but our partnership with them is official racing partner.
Yep.
So there is a natural logic that if you're mostly gentlemen, there's some ladies who are members of the club as well, but if you've driven supercars for years and years and years, and we know there's a group from there that have always thought about going racing, but have either thought, I'll do it next year, or it's a bit complicated, and what we've said to them is, look, come to us and we'll just take you through the whole process, which has worked really well. because we've now proven it out this year with some of our guest drivers, Jay Morton, Jimmy Broadbent, who had never raced before and have been through the process with us. So we've worked with them to get them their ARDS and National A Race license, and then yeah. come racing with us. And they both were in winning cars this season. So we've got a really nice model to show. You can literally come with a bit of experience of owning a supercar or having done track days, and in a, over a season, we can get you silverware in an R1. So, yeah. So we work a lot.
Which, in not being funny, is testament to a degree to how easy the R1 probably is to drive, because
yeah.
a lot of racing cars aren't exactly easy to drive at times.
No, it is absolutely a testament to that. And Jimmy and Jay, absolute novices, complete novices out of the box. Now, when they win their races, Jay won with Angus Fender and Jimmy won with Gordy Murch. Both young, fast, very good racing drivers, clearly put in the laps and did the donkey work. But Jay and Jimmy had to go out there, had to set a pace, they had to keep a reliable pace, they had to keep themselves clean through the race to provide the foundation for the boys to then take the checkered flags. But and actually, Jimmy at Donington Park, when Jimmy won in his second race, he was setting fastest laps for two or three of the laps in his stint. So he's gone from literally novice to setting the fastest lap during the race and then winning. And it absolutely proves that once you understand the car, engage the aero, work with the downforce, have the nerve to send it through a corner and not lift, then great car to work with.
Yeah. Now, two people that are involved are Jordi Kidd and Romain Grosjean. How do they fit into the Prague package?
We had this event with them last night where I was just watching Romain doing a podcast with Jody. Jody has her Kid in the Sweet Shop podcast, and she was interviewing Romain. So Jody really comes with our relationship with Supercar Driver. Mm. She's a partner with Supercar Driver, who's a partner of ours. And I think what I've tried to do with the business is, where we work with partners and sponsors, say to them, it's not just you. Involve your partners and sponsors so that everybody benefits from what we're doing. So Jody and Supercar Driver were kind enough to say, would you like to do something with us together? So we Praga has a long relationship with Romain Grosjean.
Yeah.
If you look back at old pictures of Romain in Formula One, you now see the Praga logo on his helmet actually quite a lot. And that stems from his relationship with the owners of the company over the years. So we have access to Romain to do things, but obviously with how his career has gone this season, which has been amazing, that's kept him busy, and all with all the travel restrictions, it's been really hard to get hold of him. But a couple of months ago, I just said, we need you, when are you available? And I was given November the 18th or November the 19th.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll take them both, please. So and then we tried to build a couple of events around it. So we had a great night last night, as what we called an evening with Praga, with Romain, Jody hosted, Jimmy Broadbent, Jay Morton, and Frank Stephenson, just in conversation, really, which was super, and it was all interesting guys. Romain is more than happy to talk in great detail and depth, which is incredible, about his accident in Bahrain and what he went through. So you can imagine he had the room absolutely hooked.
Yeah.
And then today, she did her podcast with Romain and talked through again, but obviously in a lot more detail. So that was amazing to listen to. So we've got a really nice group of friends that we work with that appeal to people, supercar owners, racing car owners. And the nice thing is, all really genuine, hardworking, successful people who love motor racing. So it works all ends up.
If somebody wants to shift from whatever they're racing at the moment, or just wants to, as you were saying with some of the drivers, they haven't raced before, how do they do it with Praga?
So contact us through our social medias. We'll spot you. And if you're experienced, we've got, after the test drives that we've been doing recently, we've got a really long list of people that want to come racing next year. And I know everybody says, yeah, so have we. But actually, these are people saying, I've got budget. Because actually the budgets aren't huge, but they're small as far as I can tell for coming racing in R1, because the cost of ownership of the car is so low, actually, because the costs are so predictable. The car's so reliable. So we've got a lot of drivers. We're currently talking to the three teams that have raced with us this year to give them first choice, so give them the opportunity to basically order more cars and race more with the drivers. And then we'll also start to talk to other teams who are now interested in buying cars so that they can take on the drivers.
Yeah.
We're reducing the number of our factory cars because we'd just rather have more private teams and drivers on the grid. It's just healthier. But we can certainly try and pair up drivers who have got budget with teams, or find drivers for teams that are interested.
Yeah. And so, just perchance you're wondering, the spelling is P-R-A-G-A, Praga. But, Mark Harrison, Praga Cars UK, the managing director of, thank you very much for joining me on the Backseat Drive Radio Show.
Absolute pleasure.
I'd love to wish Praga all the best, because it's one of those race series, you never know what it could lead to, really, either, do you?
It'll look great on television.
It'll look great, yeah. And these look like proper racing cars. Yeah. Once again, Mark Harrison, thank you very much for joining me on the Backseat Driver Radio Show.
Thank you.
106.7 Ribble FM. Across the Ribble Valley,